The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
President of Life Issues Institute.
Today marks Memorial Day, a national day of honoring those who have valiantly fought to secure the rights of all Americans and people around the world. Countless soldiers have bled and died so we might enjoy the freedoms denied by many countries, freedoms that many see at risk in the wake of COVID-19. The most basic right we celebrate is life itself. Because without the right to life, there is no right to education, immigration, free speech, and much, much more. When you see a veteran, thank them. When you encounter someone who's lost a loved one to battle, embrace them. And let them know their sacrifice and that of their soldier will never be forgotten, never be taken for granted, and always be cherished and appreciated.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
There are some questions we secularists have to answer. Who am I? What am I? Unless we can answer these questions, we can't expect people to be interested in living without God. Hi, this is Lon Solomon, and these words were spoken by Dr. Ronald Aronson, humanities professor at Wayne State University. You know, Dr. Aronson is spot on. Humanism and secularism and atheism do not provide people adequate answers to life. But listen to what Jesus said. He said, "I am the light of the world. The person who believes in me shall never walk in darkness." Follow Jesus and walk in the light. Not a sermon, just a thought.
For more information on Not a Sermon, Just a Thought, you can check out our website at notasermon.com. That's notasermon.com.
Portions of this edition of The Don Kroah Show were pre-recorded for broadcast at this time.
The following is a rebroadcast of a program heard earlier here on The Don Kroah Show.
It's time for The Don Kroah Show, right here from the WAVA-FM Passport Auto Group Studios. Now, The Don Kroah Show.
Welcome to the Don Kroah Show, Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 each afternoon. We talk about what I call stuff that matters, issues of significance that you and I need to get informed about, but you'll often hear me say, let's get informed, and then let's get involved. Find positive, life-affirming ways to make a difference. You really do have a voice out there, and the nation needs it more than ever these days. Speaking of voices, my guest this hour, a man who's quickly become a very significant voice in American politics and in the media, bringing something desperately needed to the table, in my view, some cogent, informed, rational, yes, rational discussion of some of the most critical issues facing our country right now. Dr. Sebastian Gorka, national security strategist for the Fox News Channel. You see him often on Sean Hannity's show, also on the Fox Business Network. Writes for The Hill. He's authored two or three outstanding books with Regnery. We'll have him mention those in a few minutes. And last but certainly not least, he is the host of the daily syndicated radio show heard on the Salem Network, America First, with Sebastian Gorka. By the way, it airs Monday through Friday, 10 p.m. to midnight on AM 570, The Answer. And before he got into that media mess of a talk show, he was advisor to the then candidate Donald J. Trump. Served on the staff of the White House in 2017 as the deputy assistant to the president for strategy. And Sebastian, welcome to the show, my friend.
Great to be back. I'm a big admirer, and it's wonderful to be back in studio with you.
And I'm tired just reading a little bit of what you've been up to. How do you keep up with it all?
I'm a night owl, so I'm not as good as the president, my old boss, who needs about 2.5 hours sleep a night. But my brain is still engaged after 10 o'clock, so we get stuff done.
Before we get on to some other things, you launched your show, I think, January of last year.
January 1st.
So you've got a year plus under your belt.
That's
What's it been like?
It's a dream come true. I never imagined in my wildest dreams that I would be hosting a radio show, let alone a national radio show in America. But it's kind of, I guess, natural because as a child in England, growing up in West London, so my mother never had the radio off. My mother was a culture vulture. She loved talk radio. She worked for the BBC after she escaped from Hungary. From an early age as a child, from about 6 or 7, I had a little plastic transistor radio under my pillow till the wee hours of the night listening to LBC, which was the London Broadcasting Company. They had talk radio 24 hours a day, and I'd listen under my pillow late at night. So, you know, I love talk radio. I don't know about your listeners, I would presume so, but I don't read newspapers. I think most newspapers are a waste of time. Yep. I get most of my information from radio and from select internet websites. So for me to actually be on the other side of the mic, it's a dream, Don. It's a dream.
Well, I'm so happy that that has happened through the years, and Salem certainly is honored to provide that platform. I know they were thrilled when they could. I don't know all the goings-on behind the scenes, but to pull you away from right in the heart of politics, and yet that's where we need voices and those who speak with a context. And speaking of context, take a moment to tell us a bit about your own family background. Your own parents have an understanding of socialism, communism that few of us have, and it's very relevant to the conversation we're going to have right now.
Thank you, Don. So today is stunningly the 1st of May, which around the world is celebrated, unfortunately, as the Workers' Festival, the Workers' Holiday. I don't look at people as workers. I see them as citizens. I see them as employees. This is a socialist concept. This was, of course, the Red May Day holiday across the communist bloc. My parents, as children, suffered under a fascist regime in Hungary, in Budapest. Then after the end of World War II, like many countries of the region, Hungary's fascist dictatorship was replaced by a communist one. My father, who was a man of faith, patriotic Christian, decided to resist in college, created a secret Christian students' organization to resist the communist takeover, was eventually betrayed by one of the most heinous traitors in the Cold War, a man called Kim Philby, who worked for the KGB at the top of British intelligence. My father's organization was funneling information to the West, to MI6. He was betrayed, he was arrested, he was tortured by the Hungarian secret police and given a life sentence at the age of 20. Mm. 2 years in a solitary prison cell, not 2 months, 2 years. 2 years down a prison coal mine. And then eventually in 1956, during the 10 glorious days of the Hungarian Revolution, he was liberated by the freedom fighters and escaped to the West with a 17-year-old daughter of a fellow political prisoner across the minefields into Austria. And they made it out to the UK, were married, and those are my parents. And these are I open each of my books. My books are pretty much national security oriented, domestic politics and culture war related. But every single book from Defeating Jihad, my first, through Why We Fight, to the most recent one, The War for America's Soul, I want to make a connection with the reader. So each book opens with a chapter about my parents, about what they suffered under fascism and communism. And it's funny, Don, wherever I travel around the country, if anybody's ever read one of my books, they don't want to talk about the history of Al-Qaeda. They don't want to talk about my time in the White House. Although they're curious about my old boss, the thing they always want to talk to me about are those chapters about my family and how it informs what I do today and what I did in the administration.
In light of that kind of background on that last point, how concerned are you about the, and I use the word not pejoratively, but the ignorance on the part of so many of our young people as to what they're flirting with and embracing in this current wave of socialism, soft communism, if you will? I mean, for Bernie Sanders to get any kind of support, let alone others on the left, and yet, how deeply does that concern you, and how do we begin to change that in light of where the universities, for the most part, are today?
As a man who, when he was a child, I think I was about 8 years old, and we were vacationing on the beach, and my father came out of the ocean. He was a great athlete on the national crew team before he was arrested by the communists. Loved to swim. And he came out of the water one day, and I saw something on his wrist that I hadn't noticed before. And I said to him, like a silly little child, "Hey, Dad, what are those lines on your wrists?" And without emotion, he looked at me, didn't skip a beat, and he said, "Son, that's where the secret police bound my wrists together with wire behind my back so they could hang me from the ceiling of the torture chamber." So that's the moment for me when my life changed, and where words like socialism and communism and evil actually had deep, deep content. And Don, I find it hard to wrap my mind around the idea that any idea connected to what 100 million people died as a result of, which is the number across the world that were killed by communism, that any idea that emanates from Karl Marx, whether it calls itself socialism, democratic socialism, which is an oxymoron, or communism, that any of that has any traction in America, the freest nation on God's earth, the only nation founded on the principles of individual liberty, I find mind-boggling. Look, there's an incredible organization in D.C., called the Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation, and they keep alive the history of what happened to all those people who were persecuted and are being persecuted in places like Cuba, North Korea, China today. Every year, in October time, I think, they do a big, big poll with YouGov, with a serious polling company. And last year, Don, they found in the YouGov poll with the Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation, 72% of the millennials they polled would prefer to live in a socialist or communist America. There's only one way to understand that, Don. It means that they have no idea what socialism is, that they've been indoctrinated. They think it's free stuff. They think it's equality. They have no idea that it means gulags. It means torture chambers. It means death camps. It means one-party system. It means the fact that you are only allowed to say certain things that are permitted by the one-party government. I still remain very disturbed.
Sebastian Gorka with me. Check his books out, every one of them well worth your attention, and you can find them your usual sources, Amazon and so forth, Regnery Publications. We'll be back in a moment with more.
Most of us wanted to say Jesus three times, get saved, click our heels, and all our problems go away. But that's not the way it is in Scripture. Evening comes before morning. Darkness comes before the sunrise. And the challenge is, we didn't just meet the God of, three or four scriptures and some Christianity born in some strange place. We've begun to worship the God of the Bible. And when you worship the God of the book, things go according to the book. In this book, darkness is an indication that morning's on the way. When you look at the book, you know that darkness was over the face of the earth. Then God said, "Let there be light." It started with darkness. So darkness is not an indication that God has failed you, forsaken you, that God doesn't love you or care for you. It's an indication that you're part of God's process. And if you hang in there, sunrise will come right on time.
This is Dr. Derek Greer. For more, go to gracechurchva.org. And as always, live big.
Hi, it's Chuck with A-Action. This is a message of faith and hope. I've had my share of challenges. There were times I didn't know if I'd make it. I recall Matthew 6, where Jesus told his disciples, "And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? So don't worry about tomorrow, for God has his plan for all of us." Be thankful, fellow Christians, for we live in the greatest God-favored country there has ever been. Through God, I trust, will not only prevail, but thrive.
This is John MacArthur. Join me for today's Portraits of Grace. After World War II, the United Nations was created to promote world peace. But since its inception in 1945, there has not been a single day of complete global peace. That's a sad commentary on man's inability to make peace, isn't it? In fact, someone once quipped that Washington, D.C. has so many peace monuments because officials build one after every war. Well, in the future, Jesus will return to establish a kingdom of peace that will usher us into an eternal age of peace. In the meantime, he uses believers to proclaim the gospel of peace to a spiritually war-torn society. I pray you'll be a faithful ambassador of the gospel of peace. This is John MacArthur encouraging you to live as portraits of grace.
The Don Crow Show on WAVA, Sebastian Gorka, my guest. Dr. Gorka is a prolific author. He is a voice much needed in this country. And Sebastian, I have to say, when I first began to learn about you and your background, I said, this is providential. God has providentially brought you, I believe, to this country for, as Esther of old was told, such a time as this. And I personally want to thank you for the contributions that you are making to our culture and to the turnaround that we're all hoping for. Talk about how you see this current crisis we've been passing through, the COVID-19, as we've abbreviated it. How has the president, in your view, handled it? How has he handled his relentless critics in that regard? And anything else that you talk about on your own program, probably, that relates to this very important topic right now?
Well, it's a great time to ask that question. Yesterday at midnight, the federal guidelines on social distancing and staying at home expired. Now we are seeing more than 20 states, 20 governors slowly release their citizens back into the workforce. Texas, I think, is even opening restaurants today in the Lone Star State. There's a couple of big take-homes. Number one, God bless the Founding Fathers for understanding what true federalism should be and their concept that Washington, D.C. should really be an irrelevance. Outside of national security, foreign policy, and interstate business, Washington should be an irrelevance. The public health, for example, is the domain of the states. The idea that Governor Cuomo is crying into his Wheaties that he doesn't have enough ventilators. Well, Governor Cuomo, you shouldn't have auctioned them off 6 years ago from the state of New York. These are the lessons learned. We need to reinforce our understanding of what states' rights and federalism truly means. When it comes to the big take-home, it's remarkable. Your listeners can do it right now. Go back on to YouTube, go on to the internet, watch interviews with Donald Trump, plain old Donald Trump from the 1980s, the 1990s. There's a famous one with Oprah Winfrey. Donald Trump was blowing the clarion call about China decades ago. He was reading the Riot Act of the American quote-unquote policy elite saying, guys, this is not a friendly country. This isn't Switzerland. This isn't Belgium. This is the world's biggest communist nation, and they wish to do us harm. The idea, Don, that we started this global pandemic response in a situation where more than 85% of American antibiotics are manufactured in China is untenable. The idea that we can be held hostage because China makes our N95 surgical masks, I have one question for every American. Why are we doing any business at all with a country that has labor camps? It is one of the biggest strategic mistakes of Western civilization in the last 100 years that Henry Kissinger convinced Richard Nixon to open to China. I get the logic at the time. You want to hive off, you want to cleave China away from the Soviet Union. But what did it result in, Don? It resulted in a completely backward, peasant-based culture becoming a near-peer competitor and us enabling the rise of an aggressive China that by the time of the Trump administration, people don't realize this. If you don't look at just overt indices, if you look at purchasing power parity of the two GDPs, China's GDP was larger than America's in 2016. And they have a plan. This is not conspiracy theory. I hate conspiracy theories. All of your viewers can check it out right now. Google the phrase, One Belt, One Road. Xi Jinping's administration has a declared plan, a strategy, to become the world's only hegemonic power by the 100th anniversary of the Communist Revolution, which will fall in 2049. And that plan necessitates deposing America as the leader of the free world. The idea that companies like Google and Apple assisted the Communist Party of China to rise to where it is today, Look, I wrote a piece about this for the great site, American Greatness. You can read it at my website, sebgorka.com, S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A.com. You remember our parents, Don, our grandparents, one day after World War II, they woke up and they switched on their transistor radios and they heard a beep, beep, beep. What was that sound? It was the sound of the first ever artificial satellite in outer space. Who'd launched it? Not us. The Soviet Union. It is what was then called the Sputnik moment. The idea that a relatively backward nation like the Soviet Union, that had been decimated during World War II, beat us into space, meant that we said, oh my gosh, what's going to happen next? Are they going to have ICBMs? Are we going to lose the nuclear arms race to the Soviet Union? America woke up in the 50s to the threat posed by the Soviet Union. The COVID virus, what I prefer to call the Chinese Wuhan virus, must be our wake-up call when it comes to China, Don.
In that regard, and with all this going on now, and people are going through experiences we Americans, for the most part, have never, ever imagined happening, being actually told to stay home, and on pain of law enforcement in some crazy cases, anecdotally. But my concern has been, and I want to see if you share this thought, that we will come out of this, but we won't return to where we were. We'll have to accept, quote-unquote, some new normal, where freedoms have been abridged beyond what we would ever imagine, and we won't get them all back. Do you think that's a legitimate concern?
So every week on my show, I was given the unenviable task of herding the cats of my fellow national hosts. So for an hour, we have a coronavirus special every Wednesday with my friends Dennis Prager, Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher, Larry Elder. And 2 weeks ago, this was the subject of our opening of the show, because Larry said, that's it. We're never going back. We're not going to shake hands. We're not going to hug again. And I and Dennis said, hang on a second. You know, the traditions of our Western Judeo-Christian civilization are a bit more robust than that. But you know, to answer your question, Don, it's up to us. It's up to us. As we are recording this, there are people on the streets of Chicago waving the stars and stripes saying, we've had enough. We've seen in Michigan. We've seen in California. This morning, I went to my physiotherapist because I've had a knee operation. I thought we were back to normal. The roads were so full in Northern Virginia. I had the feeling that everybody said enough is enough. So it really depends upon whether Americans remember that our nation was founded on the principles of rugged individualism and limited government. I don't do predictions, but my expectation is that's going to be the test for all of us in the months to come.
Talk about also the concern over not only that, returning to some kind of normal. Now, we've experienced economic damage that I think is going to take years to recover. My heart aches for some of the, especially small businesses, that some of whom will never be able to reopen. And, of course, the money usually goes in the wrong direction to the big boys before the little guy, which is tragic as well. But what can you say to people who are struggling with that right now?
I think at the end of the day, you're right. We've never, ever seen in Western history an economy of the scale of ours. Before the coronavirus, the Chinese virus, the American economy was the biggest economy the world had ever seen. We've never seen an economy of that size voluntarily shut itself down for 2 months. The idea that we added 30 million Americans to the unemployment rolls in the space of 6 weeks, there's no economist anywhere who would have predicted that. Can we recover? Yes, because I believe at the end of the day, free enterprise, supply and demand, Adam Smith's invisible hand will dictate that people will want to go out, will want to have that cheeseburger, will want to go out and have dinner, will want to go to the ball game. Hundreds, thousands of companies will have gone under, but like a phoenix, I expect the people represented by those companies who worked in those companies under another name in another location to come back, because It's the way of the American spirit. We don't give up. We don't give in. And I think that it applies especially when we get out of sight of this city. I don't. I hate to judge. For me, real America isn't in Washington, D.C. It's not in New York. It's not in the Acela Corridor. It's not in Los Angeles. For me, the Americans that defined America for centuries are in what is derisively called the flyover states. And those Americans, they're made of hardy stuff, Don.
Couldn't agree with you more. I want to talk to you for a moment before I have to quit here about the power grabs. We all know the Lord acted maxim, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. It seems to me there were a number of governors, mayors, and others who quickly grabbed power, and I find it more than fascinating that they tended to fall along certain political lines.
Almost exclusively, yeah. This is going to be perhaps one of the most interesting things to watch in the coming days and weeks, that we have almost half the states of the union getting back to business and almost exclusively under the guidance of Republican of governors. At a certain point, people like Governor Cuomo, people like Governor Newsom, the cynical are holding out for more money from the federal coffers. It's also another fascinating overlap, not a coincidence, that the states that are predicting another month or 6 months of shutdown are states that are usually insolvent, that have liabilities in their public pension funds that they cannot pay for in their own tax structures. And I think, very cynically, that they want to squeeze the government purse in D.C. to say, okay, we'll open up if you send us another few billion. I think that position will be untenable. The idea that Governor Newsom, what was it yesterday, tried to shut down the Pacific Ocean. Excuse me? I think there was King Canute tried that a few centuries ago, tried to halt the waves, and it doesn't work. And when we see Texas, when we see Montana, when we see South Dakota back in business, the people of even California and Massachusetts and elsewhere are going to say, sorry, Governor, I need to feed my children. I'm going back to work.
Final question. Yes. You've worked closely with the president. How do you measure, evaluate, scale, whatever, his handling of this big crisis?
I think the first week was rocky. He'd never. Who's experienced handling a national pandemic? I haven't. You haven't. Nobody in that building had. This is one of the remarkable things about my old boss. He, for a 73-year-old, his capacity to learn on the job is stunning. He is such a quick read and quick learner. It is faster than most 20-year-olds. As a result, what have we seen then? Let's talk about concrete metrics, not politics. The phase one vaccine testing. We went from the sequencing of the DNA structure of the COVID-19 to initiating the first phase one trial of a vaccine took 65 days. It's never happened in history. It usually takes months, if not a year. 65 days. You remember the press conference recently where the president was in the Rose Garden unboxing one of the Abbott Laboratories testing equipments for point of service testing of the coronavirus. That was created a matter of weeks after the national shutdown. This is why we are so blessed to have a businessman, pragmatist as commander-in-chief and not a politician, because I can attest to the fact the only thing that the president cares for when it comes to saving Americans and making sure we're prosperous is results. If you can't bring results, he's not interested. And to have a man there who has done this so rapidly is a blessing to all of us.
I wish we had another hour.
Let's do it again sometime.
We'll do it again soon. Thank you for coming down the hall and chatting with us.
My honor. Thank you, Don.
Dr. Sebastian Gorka, author of several great books. Check them out for yourself. Again, Sebastian, name all three books.
The first one, my first New York Times bestseller, Defeating Jihad. Then Why We Fight, Defeating America's Enemies with No Apologies. And the newest one is The War for America's Soul.
And your website is?
Website, sebgorka.com, sebgorka.com. And you can get everything about my show at sebgorka.com.
We'll be back, folks. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Todd Nettleton, and this is the Voice of the Martyrs Radio. when Czech native Peter Jacek was pulled aside by security at a Sudanese airport, he assumed it was a routine check. He was on his way home after meeting with local believers in the hopes of providing aid to persecuted Sudanese Christians. But as security officers began their interrogation, Peter realized he wouldn't be going home anytime soon. He spent 14 challenging months in Sudanese prisons, enduring abuse from guards and his fellow prisoners because of his Christian faith. But through it all, Peter clung to Christ. Praise God, because Jesus never leaves us nor forsakes us.
I will not let my brothers and sisters suffer in silence, nor will I let them serve alone. To learn more about Peter's story, request your copy of his brand new book, Imprisoned with ISIS, at vomradio.net.
With the coronavirus restrictions, the PragerStore warehouse will be unable to ship items for a couple of weeks. So, I want to mention this. If you are wanting to listen to any audio program in the PragerStore without waiting for it to be sent to you, let me recommend joining Pragertopia Unlimited. In addition to being able to listen to my radio show commercial-free, Pragertopia Unlimited members can listen to any and all audio programs that are in the Dennis PragerStore, over 1,000 hours of streaming audio, almost everything I've recorded over the last 20 years, show segments, talks, lectures, courses, plus you'll have full access to all 5 books of my Torah teachings. It's all on demand. Stream any program anytime on your phone, iPad, or computer. Plus, everyone who joins Pragertopia Unlimited gets a coupon code for 50% off an autographed copy of the Rational Bible, Genesis. Join Pragertopia Unlimited today. Go to Pragertopia.com.
Are you tired of some of the movies that Hollywood puts out? Why not redeem the time you're spending at home with family and watch something that affirms your values? For a limited time, you can purchase No Safe Spaces, a film that reveals how freedom of speech is being threatened and how some are even attacked for their Christian beliefs right here in America. Freedom of speech is important for the spread of the gospel. Truth flourishes where it's allowed to be heard. But your speech and beliefs are under attack now more than ever. People have been accused of hate speech for simply speaking about the gospel. And some politicians have threatened to permanently shut down churches because of the pandemic. There is no more important time to watch No Safe Spaces. Go to nosafespaces.com. Use the code SAVE25 to get 25% off your purchase. That's SAVE25. This offer is only available for a limited time. Go to nosafespaces.com today.
Alexa can play WAVA-FM and hear us wherever you are on our mobile app, iHeart, TuneIn, or radio.com.
Listen to your favorite Christian programs anytime on the OnePlace app. Download and listen offline. Stream to your car or automated home device. Download OnePlace at Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
You're listening to an encore presentation of programs heard recently here on The Don Kroah Show. The Don Kroah Show on WAVA. Well, in her latest book published by Regnery, this one, by the way, a free book, ebook form, if you will, my guest is offering 7 tips for staying sane when life turns upside down or COVID-19 appears. Dr. Meg Meeker has spent more than 30 years as a practicing pediatrician. She's the author of the bestseller that we talked about when it came out, Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters, Raising a Strong Daughter in a Toxic Culture. She serves on the advisory board of the Medical Institute, fellow of the American Academy of Pediatrics, much more to her credit, associate professor of medicine at Michigan State College of Human Medicine, and she and her husband practice medicine in northern Michigan. Her website is MegMeekerEbook.com. That's the one you want to remember, MegMeekerEbook.com. Dr. Meeker, an honor to have you back on the show. Welcome.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
Based on what you're hearing, and now there's been a couple of, well, 2 or 3 months of this, seems even longer, what are parents coming out of all of this or going through this? What are their biggest concerns that you're getting right now?
Well, one of them is just dealing with a huge transition between having their kids gone all day, they're at a workplace all day, and now everybody's home together, trying to do the same things they did apart. And that creates a lot of stress and tension in the home. So I think that a lot of parents are stressed dealing with the stress of the home. The other thing they're really having a hard time with, how to, you know, get their kids to actually stay on task with their homework, their assignments. And a lot of parents feel like, I'm not a teacher, but all of a sudden now I'm a homeschool teacher and I have a job and I don't know how to do all this. So I think there's just a lot of stress everywhere, and parents are afraid that they're not going to do well by their kids, and their kids are going to fall behind in school, and they're just going to have, quote unquote, sort of messed this whole period up for their kids.
Well, it's a big challenge, one that nobody probably was ready. Well, I guess the homeschoolers may have been in some cases ready, but even at that, it's, I'm sure, a shift for even them. How can they avoid some of the understandable tension that comes out of this? In fact, anecdotally, and I'm sure you're better informed than I could ever be on this matter, but I've heard there's been, sadly, some abusive relationships going on at home that ordinarily would not maybe occur except because of the increased tension and closeness. What do you know in that regard?
Well, you know, that sadly, that is true. I think that people who had abusive tendencies anyway were able to sort of keep the lid on them if they got away from the abusees or the victims, if you will. But now they're all together, and the stress just puts them over the edge. That's not excusing their behavior at all. But for people who are bent that way anyway, this can just unleash the worst in them. I think it's really important at the beginning to try to establish a routine in the home. We do well with routine. Kids do well with routine. And I think when we were first hit with this COVID stuff sideways, nobody knew how to handle the day. We were used to schedules, but now we didn't have a schedule. So the first thing to do is to try to get the family on a schedule. I'm talking parents to do to kids, you know. 9 to noon is study time, you know, then you have lunch, and then you go outside, you do some kind of physical activity. In other words, you move kids around in an orderly fashion, because kids won't do this themselves. They don't sort of self-regulate. So to do that as best you can is really important. The second thing to do is to work into your day some time where everybody's away from each other. And some people have a hard time because they live in a small apartment or a small house, but there usually are different rooms. And just sort of say to everybody, guys, you know, you need to go to your room for 15 minutes, half hour, whatever, because we all need some alone time. We need some space. And remember, kids need space from you as much as you need space from your kids. So they usually welcome this kind of thing. If possible, send them outside. You know, there's no reason you can't be outside as long as you're away from other people. So, you know, we forget about this. We think, well, we need to all be locked on inside because of COVID. Well, no, you know, go in your backyard and play if nobody else is there. But a sibling that you're with all the time, you have no problem doing that. So schedule and make sure you work in time when everybody's apart from each other, even for a little bit during the day.
In fact, I was talking with a writer, a journalist in the earlier hour about just that. Actually, years ago, when kids were recovering from a cold or sickness or whatever, the day came when mom threw the windows open or got them out of the house and said, go out and play outside. That's often the healthier thing than being confined into small spaces inside a building, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we need fresh air. We need to see the trees. We need some sunshine. Even if it's raining, we need rain. Rain is better for us than staying locked up inside because, you know, you just develop bad habits, and the more you do those habits, the more you do them. For instance, if we're locked inside too long, we tend to sit. And when we sit, we look at screens. And the longer we look at a screen, the longer we want to, and then we sit more. Or we get bored and we eat. So it's just, we just establish some really bad habits when we're stuck in the habits when we're stuck inside 24/7. So it's really important to get outside, particularly with kids. Kids have to get outside and run around and sort of work the kinks out, if you will.
We're going to take a break and come back, Meg, and talk about your ebook that you're so generously offering folks. Of course, I'm sure part of it is what we're talking about now, but you can check it out for yourself, folks. We'll give you that website and how you can access it. And also, some more questions I'd like our guests to share answers to coming right up.
At Sprint, we understand saving money for your family is now more important than ever. That's why we're offering our best unlimited deal. Switch and get four lines of unlimited for just $100 a month. That's right, four lines for $100. Plus, the plan includes Hulu, 500 megabytes of mobile hotspot, DVD quality streaming, and more. If that's not enough, to really amp this up, we're including four amazing iPhone 11s on us when you trade in iPhone 6s or newer in any condition. And now, Sprint customers enjoy access to expanded coverage on the T-Mobile network. Shop from the comfort of your home at Sprint.com, call 800-SPRINT-1, or come see us in our stores. Phone after 29.17 per month credit for 18 months credit. Apply within 2 bills. If canceled early, remaining balance due. Requires new account on unlimited basic after 7/31/21. Pay $35 per month per line with autopay. Data deprioritization during congestion. Coverage and offer not available everywhere. Excludes taxes, fees, and roaming. Speed maximums, use rules, $30 activation fee, and restrictions apply.
Hi, Don Crow here. Folks, as hard as it may be to believe, the disease of leprosy still exists. And while most of us think of leprosy as only something occurring in biblical times, the fact is that approximately 52 children every single day are diagnosed with this devastating disease. And beyond the physical impact of leprosy, there's also the severe social stigma. A woman forced to give up her job in the marketplace and now no longer able to support her family. A man whose hands and feet are damaged by the disease, no longer able to work in the fields to feed his family. However, you and I can help change those realities with a generous one-time gift to American Leprosy Missions of just $90, which will provide the cure for leprosy for three people, literally giving them their very lives back again. Would you do that? Would you call 800-979-1980 with a generous gift right now? 800-979-1980, or you can give online at WAVA.com. Just use the keyword heal.
Let's welcome Jeremy Camp.
Hope comes home with I Still Believe. You can download it now at WatchSalemMedia.com. From the creators of I Can Only Imagine comes the uplifting true life story of Christian music megastar Jeremy Camp.
I'm supposed to be with her. I can't explain it. I just know that.
Jeremy's hope and faith are put to the test when tragedy strikes.
You're going to be healed.
What if I'm not supposed to be healed?
Don't say that.
I Still Believe is an incredible story of musical stardom, the heights of love, the depths of loss, and the healing power of the human spirit. One love can change your life.
You chose willingly to walk into the fire with her. That's what love is.
Witness the true story of Christian music star Jeremy Camp and his journey of love and loss that looks to prove there is always hope. Starring KJ Apa, Britt Robertson, Gary Sinise, and Shania Twain. Own I Still Believe on Blu-ray, DVD, and digital now from Lionsgate. At WatchSalemMedia.com. That's WatchSalemMedia.com.
Since this whole quarantine thing started, we've gotten the chance to chat with around 2,000 of you radio listeners. And here's what we've heard. You wouldn't believe how many puzzles we've done. Who would have thought family driveway tennis could be so much fun? And I'm pretty sure I've watched over 100 episodes of Seinfeld. The other thing we've seen is families across the country doing major work on their homes. Dream basements, backyard makeovers, swimming pools, or shelves, and more shelves for organization. The home is officially a bigger deal than ever. And the cool thing is, for many of us, home values have gone up the last few years, meaning you could have equity sitting in your home that you could cash out to put in, say, the greatest driveway tennis court of all time. If that's you, our Faith and Family Mortgage team has a direct lender advantage, and we'd love to help. We our United Faith Mortgage.
We pay your appraisal fees, up to $500.
UMC Mortgage Company, Melville, New York. NMLS number 1330. NMLSConsumerAccess.org. In refinance, total refinancing charges may be higher over life of the loan.
The Don Crow Show on WAVA, talking with Dr. Meg Meeker, author of a couple of books. One's a new one coming out. It's available now, in fact. Free. We'll talk about that in a minute, but I want to remind you of her book we discussed earlier, Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters, Raising a Strong Daughter in a Toxic Culture. Available at your usual sources. Dr. Meg, talk about this ebook that you've written. What is it really, and why have you chosen to offer it free as an ebook?
Well, I tell you, I wrote it because so many parents were struggling learning, knowing how to navigate, what to do with their kids, how to problem solve. So I really wrote it for my patients. And then I was talking with the great folks at Regnery, my publisher, and said, you know, I think this is a really important book at this time. And they read it and they said, absolutely. And I said, you know, I just want everybody to have it so they can get out there and read it. And, you know, money is not the issue. So just be able to have it, download it and read it just to get some encouragement, because this is a time when we really just need to come together and help each other and do the best we can to give encouragement and hope and sort of a pat on the back. So I really wrote it for that reason. It's pretty simple.
MegMeekerEbook.com. That's all they need to know, right?
Correct.
MegMeekerEbook.com, folks. Make a note of that. Let's talk a bit more about some of the challenges for families with this isolation. Certainly one of the issues that I think parents have to deal with is fear and anxiety. And you've already addressed the idea of the sense of everything's out of control. I can't control what's going on right now. Would it be fair to say that kids tend to mirror what they are getting in that regard from us adults, whether it's fear and anxiety and tension or the sense that things are just at loose ends? And if that's true, how do we compensate or how do we correct that?
You're absolutely right. You know, really, they used to say if mom ain't happy, then nobody's happy. But it's really true. And that's what you're talking about. A parent or both parents set the tone in the house. And if we are scared and we're wound up and we're barking at everybody because we're anxious and feel like we're on pins and needles, all the kids are going to feel that way, because kids get our cues from us. If they feel that we are calm and we're in charge, then they can look to us and say, I can lean on mom and dad. Mom and dad are going to take care of everything. And if I need to know something or need help, I can turn to mom and dad because they're cool, calm, and collected. So it's really important for parents, if you are afraid or you do have anxieties and you do have some fears, talk to another adult about them, and do so out of the home if you can. Because even if you are afraid, you don't necessarily want your kids to know that, because if they see you afraid, they'll be afraid. And we don't want our kids to be afraid. We want our kids to know that, yes, this is a scary time, and yes, the virus is out there, and we need to tell them what the virus is and, you know, and why we need to be concerned about it, but that things are going to be okay, because we can tell them that truthfully. You know, if they get sick, the chances of them recovering completely are extremely high. And then we need to reassure them to the best of our ability that we're going to be okay. And again, we can be pretty truthful in saying that if we otherwise don't have any health problems. So, you know, if I were to get sick and I have no health problems, I would feel very comfortable telling my kids, I'm going to be okay. You know, the overwhelming majority of people like me who get sick are okay. And I think we have enough data now to say that to our kids. So to really give them some encouragement, give them some truth, give them some reassurance. And again, as we do that with our kids, interestingly enough, that will quell some of our own fears. So it can work in a positive way in two different aspects.
7 tips for staying sane when life turns upside down or COVID-19 appears. It's an ebook that's free and available to you right now at MegMeekerEbook.com. Folks, I've been encouraging you to make sure you see the number one box office documentary of 2019 called No Safe Spaces. And if you're concerned about what's happening on our college and university campuses all across the country these days, as our First Amendment right to free speech is under attack as never before, then it's a film you need to see now. No Safe Spaces, a very sobering reminder that no matter who you are, if you think or say anything that the radical left doesn't like, I mean on social media, at work, or even in your place of worship, they're apt to come and try to shut you down. Now, the film features Dennis Prager and Adam Carolla, also several others from both the right and the left, who agree on at least this point, America really has become a dangerous place to speak your mind and share ideas. Get your copy now, nosafespaces.com, but be sure you use the discount code SAVE25 to save 25% on the cost of the film. That's No Safe Spaces, discount code SAVE25.
You may believe in God, but do you have religion or a relationship? A lot of us get that mixed up. We think that by having religion, we're okay with God. We attend church, we say the right things, but being right with God is not about being religious. It's about having a living and vital personal relationship with Him. Jesus Christ made it possible.
He's God's son, and he came to earth to live the perfect life that we couldn't live, and then he died the death that we deserved because of our sins. Before Jesus came, being religious meant trying to please God by our own efforts. But after he came, being a follower of Jesus meant having a personal relationship with God. To find out more about how to begin a personal relationship with God through Jesus, do you have religion or a relationship? Call 888-NEED-HIM, 888-NEED-HIM, or click chataboutjesus.com.
Hi, I'm Jim Daly with Focus on the Family. When a health crisis strikes, it can be a crazy time for parents. But in the middle of your busyness, it's easy to forget to take care of yourself. Our lives can be like pressure cookers, and we can only handle so much stress. Sooner or later, we need to slow down. Make time for a good book, a bubble bath, or find another way to just be still. Explore new ways to refresh your mind, body, and soul. And together, we'll get through this.
If you own or run a business that's open and operating, we want to help you get the word out. Go to WAVA.com and click the Shop Local display. Fill out the web form and we'll add you to our business directory. This service is free and part of WAVA's effort to help the local business community succeed. Go to WAVA.com.
Abraham Lincoln wrote a letter to a Mrs. Bixby. He said, "It's come to my attention through the War Department that five of your sons died gloriously on the field of battle."
A special Memorial Day thought from military veteran Dave Reaver on today's Focus on the Family Minute.
He said, "My words cannot assuage your grief, nor are they intended to. But," he said, "I must say the solemn pride that must be yours to have laid so costly a sacrifice upon the altar of freedom. I say these words to God Himself, the solemn pride that must be yours to have laid so costly a sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. Thank you for your son Jesus on a Memorial Day that translates into freedom."
More Memorial Day tributes from Dave Reaver and our listeners at FamilyMinute.org.
A lighthouse in an ocean storm. We're 105.1 FM, bringing hope and faith to the nation in the nation's capital.
Tell a friend that you listen to life-changing talk radio, 105.1 FM, WAVA.
A couple of more minutes with Dr. Meg Meeker. This particular ebook, available free, is called Seven Tips for Staying Sane When Life Turns Upside Down. And Dr. Meg, I wanted to ask you about single folks who may be listening and say, "Well, that's great for families, but my problem is not too many people around me and where to put them all. My problem is I'm alone all the time and I have my own sets of challenges." What do you say to them?
Yeah, absolutely. And there are a lot of men and women in that situation. It's really important to do your best to connect with people every day if you can via Zoom, FaceTime, any way that you can, so that you can see face-to-face people who are going to support you, encourage you, love you, people that you can vent to, because we're all lonely, we're all having frustrations, and it's really important to talk that through. You can on the phone, but it's much better if you can do it face-to-face. It's not nearly as good as if you could be there and present with somebody, but that is really important, because a lot of single parents are exhausted because physically no one's there to help them. And so just to kind of help them get through that period of time, I think the best we can do is encourage one another via Zoom. And again, as a single parent, don't feel afraid at all to make kids stay on a schedule for your health. You know, make sure they go to bed at the time you need them to go to bed, and make it earlier if you need them to, because you probably need some just time away from the kids on your own.
And finally, talk about the importance of all of us in our own ways, in our own spheres of influence or friendship or whatever, intentionally reaching out to some people who we may think really need a word of encouragement. It seems to me that's one of the ways I get off focusing on my own problems, my own needs. We've encouraged that even with the giving programs that we've done here on the air, getting people to turn out in terms of their attention and their concerns toward other people, whether it's making a donation to one of our campaigns or whether it's reaching out to somebody.
Well, not only is it the right thing to do, and that makes you feel good because it's the right thing, we do know anybody struggling with anxiety, even depression and loneliness, the best and fastest cure for that is to help others in any way that you can. And I've just found tremendous satisfaction personally by being able to do this, to help somebody with GoFundMe, to help donate money to somebody I need it, you know, to make sure somebody has groceries. It just makes you feel alive again to turn out of it, to stop thinking about your own needs and start thinking about the needs of others. It's incredibly healing. It's incredibly life-giving. So if you have a way on this show to help people find a place to give, by all means, listeners, start giving, because it just helps heal so many ills that you have right now.
Thank you for writing the book. Thank you for giving the book as you're practicing.
Lives change here. You're listening to 105.1 FM, WAVA-FM, and HD1 Arlington. Life changing. WAVA.